doing the whole 6010.
What's good, people? Welcome into Fantasy Focus. My name is Daniel Dopp, joined by my friend, Mike Clay. Mike, I'm wearing a Silverstein shirt. You're wearing a Mark Martin shirt. I'm representing the band. You're representing NASCAR. I feel like we're right on pace, man. How you doing, buddy?
That's right. I'm pretty good. I liked your intro, too. That just says it's the off season. You know, what's good, people? Let's go. Let's just talk about NASCAR and bands. Like, it's April, but I mean, look, we're recording this on Monday, so that let's do some math. Tuesday, Wednesday, 3 days
till
the NFL draft. 3.5 days. We're almost there. So we're talking some draft today. I'm ready.
Yeah, I am pumped. It's going to be a really fun show for us today. Mike and I are both at home. I have pajamas on for my bottom half. Work clothes up for my top half.
Hey, me too.
So, me too. Hey, nice, Mike.
What is that? Exciting. That's like, you know, like mullets are like, what is it? Business in the front, party in the back.
Party
what
in
is
the back.
This
is like business up top, party
asleep,
down below.
Asleep down below. I don't know. We got to work on that one. We got to workshop that one.
Yeah, we'll figure out how to make that work. We got a lot of things planned for you today. Today's show, we're going to talk about, like you just alluded to, Mike, the NFL draft. We're going to talk about some of the guys that were rookies last year becoming sophomores and what we think of some of the incoming freshmen that will be rookies this year. But Mike, first and foremost, draft is this week. We've been waiting for it. This is the time where a lot of our teams start to finally come together. We've had free agency. We've had coaching changes. Mm-hmm. Now this is that final piece to the puzzle before we get into training camp. Who do you want to see the Philadelphia Eagles draft in the 2024 NFL draft?
Well, look, if you watch the Eagles down the stretch last season, they looked kind of on the defensive side of the ball. They look like your Detroit Lions have on defense over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, right?
Okay.
Look, I think the Lions defense is better than the Eagles defense right now, which is a far cry from where they've been in the past. So, defense, of course. You have the offensive core in place, even without Jason Kelce. The offensive line is good. They have the skill position guys, which they've added to. Jalen Hurts, obviously, under center, and Saquon Barkley in the backfield. So the offense is in pretty good shape, aside of adding some depth. But on the defensive side of the ball, still holes all over the place. So I suspect they'll be open for business, whether it's a trade back or a trade forward in the first round, as Howie Roseman often is. But I do expect them to address the defensive side of the football, perhaps cornerback, which is a big need for them. They're getting a little bit older at that position. So we'll see what they do, but they've work to do.
Yeah, they do. I mean, Detroit Lions got some work to do as well. And I'm in that same spot, Mike. I actually want a cornerback. Our secondary definitely needs some help. Safety may be a little thinner than people realize. And with Cam Sutton no longer on the team, even though the Lions traded for Carlton Davis, man, I'm just praying that Kool-Aid McKinstry falls to the Lions at 29. I would love to be able to grab that Alabama cornerback there. So hoping that we can also shore up some of the defensive side of the football, because Lions offense, just like Philly's offense, it operated at a pretty good clip last year. So hopefully we can keep those things going and maybe we can shore up the defensive side.
Yeah, and we talked about this early in the offseason. Not much turnover for Detroit. So this is a playoff team last year that was trying to make a Super Bowl run. Most of that team is back. They've already added pieces and they're not done. They still have the draft. So they, you know, if they can get average defensive play and the same amount of offensive output, they're going to be one of the best teams in the NFC, maybe in the league. So I'm with you there.
Mike, before we move on and start the show, I just really quickly want to ask you, what kind of things do you guys do in Philadelphia that us normal people don't do? Because I read this story about Jason Kelce going swimming in a pool of chili.
As one does.
Super Bowl ring. What do you mean, as one does? Explain this to me. What
you
kind
don't
of
do that?
Things
yeah,
do
that's a normal
do?
Saturday in Philadelphia. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't know. I heard that story as well. I don't know how in that small vat, I assume, of chill, you lose your Super Bowl ring. It sounds like someone maybe swiped it out of there. But that's bizarre. I didn't even know when that was or why that was or anything like that. It was just kind of like a month later. He was like, oh, yeah, just I was in, you know. Duh.
You know,
like I was in a pool of chili, like, of course I was. And I lost my ring that one time. Like, normally when I'm in chili, I don't lose it, but I did this. Yeah, I don't know. That was really bizarre. I feel for him. I do have a replica ring from that that Super Bowl championship. So if Jason wants to purchase it, you know, I'm open for business. I can help him out there, give him a nice discount.
NFL.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I don't think he didn't seem too worried about it. He didn't seem super concerned.
No, I just want to know why he was wearing his Super Bowl ring to go diving in a bowl of a vat of chili in the first place.
Well, I think he said he put it in a bag, right? But I don't know.
Oh, did he?
If the ring was in the bag, was in the chili, maybe that was the point. Like, you were supposed to find it. But then how do you lose? I don't know.
Right? I don't know.
That's, maybe that's some adult beverages were consumed. There's no way to know.
I doubt it with Jason Kelce involved. He doesn't seem like that kind of a guy.
Not at all, no.
All right, we're going to talk about a bunch of fun stuff. Like I said, our segment today is going to be called In Focus and Out of Focus, looking at the rookies from last year that are transitioning on, who we like the most and the least from those guys, and then looking at the incoming classes. So, Mike, I'm going to start out first, if you don't mind. We're going to look at the quarterback position and last year's rookie quarterbacks. Man, we had some guys at the top of the class. Obviously, Bryce Young, the number one overall pick, unfortunately struggled. And then you had two guys, Anthony Richardson, who showed us a lot in the little bit of time that he did play, unfortunately missing the second half of the season. And then CJ Stroud, who just absolutely crushed it for the entire year. So when I start this off, Mike, looking at our second-year players, I think the guy most in focus to me is going to be Anthony Richardson. I can't get away from that skill set. His legs, the way that he can utilize his rushing, the ability at the goal line, the ability to be able to extend drives. And on top of that, he's got some decent pass catchers, hoping that we can figure some things out with the Colts to maybe add a few more guys there. But I like Anthony Richardson and all the things that he does with his legs, I think, the most out of anybody else in this class. Do you agree with me or disagree with me on this one? Because CJ Stroud's a hot
name. I agree. I think they're close. You know, I looked at my rankings, my early rankings for next season. Obviously, we'll have some changes post-draft. But at the moment, I have Richardson at 6, CJ Stroud at 8, and Bryce Young down at 22. We'll talk about him more in a second. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the Colts offense when Richardson played, and it was impactful. I mean, he only played 2 full games, and he played half of 2 others. So even if you – that's basically 3 full games. But if we include all 4 – in those games, the Colts had 4 passing and 7 rushing touchdowns. It's a pretty good number. Now think about that, 4 passing, 7 rushing. In their other 13 games, they had 14 passing and 12 rushing. Again, 7 with rushing, 12 without. Unbelievable. And it wasn't just him producing there as well. It was Zach Moss, Jonathan Taylor on the ground. The offense was very good. He had 25 rushing attempts and 4 rushing touchdowns. Again, in what was essentially 3 games, he was outstanding with his legs, and that goes so far. You know, we can't stress that enough, how important rushing it is. And it's becoming a point where, like, so many quarterbacks can run. It's that, you know, and that's fine. So you kind of assume they'll add some value with their legs. It's more like, let's assume they run, and then the guys who don't, it's a big problem for, because so many other guys do now. It's different than it was a decade ago. I think the best example of that, Daniel, is Tua Tagovailoa, who led the NFL in passing yards last season, was top 5 in passing touchdowns, and was 20th in fantasy points per game. He didn't even have a good fantasy game after like week 6 last year. It's incredible. So it shows you the value of rushing. It cannot be understated. And Richardson is a candidate to lead the quarterback position in rushing attempts, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, carries inside the 5, you name it. So I'm with you. I think he does get the edge over a safer play, we'll say, a safer play in CJ Stroud for that reason.
I'm with you on that one. I looked at the idea of, if CJ Stroud were going to be a top 5 quarterback and have less than 200 yards rushing like he did in his rookie year, what would he have to do from a passing game perspective in order to make that work, right? Well, over the last basically 6 years, he would have to be Tom Brady throwing over 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns in a season. So maybe CJ Stroud can be that guy, right? We watched Aaron Rodgers kind of do that same thing. But like when you're throwing 4,400 yards, 40 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions in a season, you need to play at a Hall of Fame level. That's just that's a high bar for CJ Stroud to hit, unless he decides to add more with his rushing
Yeah, you're exactly right. And by the way, if you're in the camp of I think it's going to happen. Like maybe not those numbers, but close to it. You think Stroud's going to bust out? He's the real deal. I mean, look at his supporting cast now. You had Stephon Diggs. I mean, he was a luxury ad for a team that's absolutely stacked with Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. They still have Noah Brown and Robert Woods as like their 4 and 5. John Mechie, are you kidding me? It's just, they had so much space. And when you hit on a quarterback like that and you have a lot of cap space, I mean, you could just load that team up. Dalton Schultz, I didn't even mention, you know, he is set up for a huge season. So, yeah, maybe, you know, Richardson runs for a ton of yards and finishes QB4 and Stroud's QB3. You know, that's possible. So I think this is a fair argument to go either direction. But like you said, you need extreme passing for Stroud to outscore a healthy Anthony Richardson. So I'm going to go for the high ceiling in fantasy and go with Richardson.
I'm with you on that one. And you are technically going to tell us who is the most out of focus, but I feel like we're totally on the same page here.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's Bryce Young, but at the same time, year two is generally the year for quarterbacks, and Stroud kind of spoiled that last year by having such a huge rookie season. That's very rare, especially because Stroud didn't run the ball a lot, so he really defied the odds. But, you know, Young can run it a little bit. I think he could do more than he did last season. He has that in his arsenal. Also, his supporting cast was not good last year. It's going to be better now with Deontay Johnson there, and they're not done adding. And also, they had a coaching change during the season last year, which is tough. And now they have another new coach. So a coach, by the way, who got the most out of Baker Mayfield, and he had his best season last year in Tampa Bay. So I'm excited for Young. Again, year two is generally when we learn a lot about a quarterback. If he does not take a leap forward this year, then you have major concerns. But at the moment, I still have hope that Young will make a leap. What does that mean? It means he's a late round flyer, you know, like a lot of second year quarterbacks who panned out, like Trevor Lawrence being a recent one a couple of years ago. So definitely keeping an eye on him with a late pick, but he's clearly third in line here.
Yeah, with you on that one. And I think we can just move ahead with that conversation because I think we're on the same page.
All right, let's look
at these rookies then, Mike. We got a bunch of rookie quarterbacks coming in that is really exciting. Caleb Williams, who seemingly is going to go number one overall to the Bears. Jaden Daniels, who we think is going to go to the Commanders, but maybe there's still some questions there. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. We got six guys. Adam Schefter, we could potentially have six quarterbacks come off the board in the first round. You're going to go first. Which one of these quarterbacks is most in focus or your favorite heading into 2024?
Yeah, so this is interesting because, you know, we just talked about the importance of rushing, and Caleb Williams, is, you know, he can run the ball. We know that, but not necessarily to the extent of Jaden Daniels, who very much like a Richardson or Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts can do a ton with his legs. He has such a high ceiling in that department. So, yeah, he might be the safer fantasy option. But also, you know, he has some concerning numbers as a passer. Is he going to be good in that department? We don't know that for sure just yet, where Caleb feels a little safer in that department. So it's a close call. It kind of feels a little bit like Richardson Stroud last year. And you know, I think a lot of people leaned Richardson last year, and I think he can make the case again to go the direction of Daniels. But, you know, the draft hasn't happened yet. We still have more to learn. I'm going to play it a little conservative here. I'm going to play it safe, Daniel. I'm going to go with Caleb Williams going to Chicago. Again, he's going to have a pretty good supporting cast there with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and of course, they, you know, they have Cole Kmet. They bring in Gerald Everett, right? So he has some targets there. So I will go with Williams. And again, it definitely helps that he could add value with his legs. It might not be Daniels level, but it's going to be enough at least to put him in that, we'll say, good QB2 conversation right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. I am curious if he goes to the Chicago Bears. Another weapon that he may have is DeAndre Swift, but I'm curious how he's going to be utilized in this Bears offense, if it's going to be more in that Lions pass catching role or more in that Philadelphia Eagles run the ball first role, knowing that's a little bit of a committee. So interested to see what they do there as well. It's hard to argue with you, though, because both Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, 1-2, you're watching the NFL make this actual back and forth as well, trying to decide who we like the most.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
I know Caleb Williams is likely the lock to go number one. I wonder what Jaden Daniels is going to do with all the things that we've talked about. The guy that I'm most out of focus on, though, right now, though, Mike, I think it's Michael Penix. Huge arm, right?
So,
big.
So
NFL
to be clear, you're talking of the top six, right? There's like
the top six,
a clear six, like we think could go. As my AirPod falls out, that was inevitable. I got one though. I'm still. I got one in one.
That's
out,
hanging so on.
It's good. I got half the helmet on. So, yeah. So we're talking about the top six that could go in the first round, right? So you have
Correct.
Caleb, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix. So
Yeah.
I'll send it back to you. I do agree with you, but yeah, you Penix sixth on your list.
I got Penix six on my list. I think he's got a huge arm, right? We've seen that big NFL arm, but I think a lot of times when you look at the completion percentage, some of the decision-making ability, I want to see him be able to sometimes just make better decisions, right? Make the easy throw rather than always have to take that deep shot down the field. Sometimes I just want to extend drives. You extend drives by making the throw that sometimes the easy throw rather than always trying to find that big play to be able to unleash things. So I think all of these quarterbacks obviously have upside. They all have their downside. Not trying to take a shot at Michael Penix, but if I had to pick one that I think was the one that I was most out on right now, it would be Michael Penix because of that. I think the other guys are better passers and are still mobile enough to be able to make sure that they could still have good fantasy value for fantasy managers.
Yeah, and again, here we go, circling back to rushing. So I take notes as I'm studying these guys on what they can add with their legs, and it's basically yes or no, or maybe somewhere in the middle, and then there's a guy that gets that extra boost like Jaden Daniels, who can be elite in the department. So Caleb Williams is a yes. Daniels is yes plus. He's elite. Mm-hmm. Drake May is a yes. J.J. McCarthy, some. Bo Nix, some. Michael Penix, Daniel? He's a no. He's a pocket quarterback. He's 24 years old. He has a pair of torn ACLs. He's thrown the ball better the last couple of years, but he settled in as a pocket quarterback after all those injuries. So maybe things change and he gets a little bit more, agile in the pros, can do a little bit more with his legs. We've seen that change before. But again, he's further along. He's 24 years old. He's old for an incoming rookie quarterback, and he hasn't done it the last couple of years. So I'm with you. I think from a fantasy perspective, he's six on the list. And frankly, from an NFL perspective, I think he's six on the list as well.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, let's talk about these running backs. Last year, we had a couple of really fun fantasy running backs as rookies. Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Devon Achane, who came out of nowhere, it felt like, for those Miami Dolphins. Mike, when I'm picking one of these guys to be in focus on, a little play off the name, obviously, of our podcast, I think it's easy for me, though, to choose Bijan Robinson. Like, I know everyone's going to want me to choose Jahmyr Gibbs. I want to choose Jahmyr Gibbs. But Gibbs, to me, is clearly in a committee with David Montgomery. Bijan Robinson is the guy. Tyler Allgeier is not going to steal nearly as many touches as Monty is from Gibbs. So Bijan Robinson, new coaching staff. I mean, he had over 270 touches last year as a rookie. So the idea that they're going to find ways and hopefully a better offense with Kirk Cousins under center should be more efficient, open things up for everybody. Bijan is an easy top five running back for me. And I think that it's like, I don't want to say, I don't know how you argue with that, but I feel like everybody that I have talked to is just pumped that Bijan gets to have a year without Arthur Smith and we get to see what it's going to look like in that Falcons offense.
Yeah, and it's funny, the offense he was in last year was really fast-paced. It was a fast-paced offense in the NFL, but it was so run-heavy and shared the ball across a bunch of guys, and he disappeared at times, and he wasn't used near the goal line last year. There were so many detriments to his fantasy upside, and again, in year two, we expect that to improve. So I'm with you there in this offense. He should just be a lot better, take a larger share of the carries, and take that next step forward. He had a really terrific season, was top five in most receiving categories among running backs. And again, it's considered kind of a disappointment because of his draft pedigree and his usage. So I'm with you there. I would give him a slight edge over Jahmyr Gibbs, who, like you said, is terrific. I have Bijan going into the draft third in my rankings. I have Jahmyr Gibbs at seven. And I have the third guy on our list who, funny enough, if you extrapolate his numbers, he'd be the top scoring fantasy running back, I think, last year. Devon Achane, who is down at 17. He's still going to be in a split backfield. His yards per carry and touchdown rate are just not sustainable from what we saw last season. So I think he'll come back to earth, but still positioned to be the lead back in a really good running back friendly Miami offense. So I would say he's the, what do we call it? Out of focus.
Out of
is
focus.
Devon Achane. Yeah. Yeah. Which, again, seems disrespectful for a guy that was that good as a rookie.
Well, we're just talking about the top running backs from last year. It's not our fault. We actually just had a bunch of really good players come out of last year's rookie class. So this is one of those things. Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan are both in great situations. If Devon Achane had that role to himself, do you think the Dolphins would give him that role to himself? Or if they didn't sign Mostert, they'd go out and find someone else to help him carry that workload, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah, well, I mean, the knock on him was that he was undersized coming in. So the thought was he would never be a true feature back. And that's what we saw last year. He wasn't that. He had only one or two games with big workloads. Even if Mostert was out, you saw some Jeff Wilson involved there. So I don't think that's going to change just based on his frame. But then again, I mean, we've seen guys, you know, in the Alvin Kamara or Austin Eckler sort of role where you maybe have 160 carries, but get targeted 80, 90 times and have a huge fantasy season. So there's still room for HN to have a really good fantasy career, even if he has help in the backfield. And again, especially in this McDaniel offense, which has been so generous to running backs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right, let's look at this year's running back class, Mike. Of all the things that we talk about when we talk about the 2024 NFL draft, the running back class is not one of the first ones on the list. It's a little bit lower down than some of the other positions that we have. Jonathan Brooks seemed like the clear number one, dealing with an ACL tear that happened in November last year. You also have Jalen Wright, Blake Corum, amongst a number of other running backs. So, Mike, I'm going to let you go first. Which running back are you in on for fantasy football from the 2024 rookie class?
Yeah, and this is one of those positions where landing spot is going to drive a lot of this. So a lot of people are connecting Jonathan Brooks to the Cowboys. I'm doing the same. So he's going to be number one on my list. I have him in Dynasty as kind of a back end first round pick. But whoever lands that Dallas job, it's going to be super intriguing. There's a couple other good ones out there, but Dallas is obviously the one that has the clearest path to being a feature back. So super intrigued by that. But for the time being, Brooks is the number one running back on my board. That's been the case since my rankings dropped a couple months ago. I like him a lot. He's very young. He's younger than most of the running backs in this class, actually a full year younger than Trey Benson, 4 months younger than Jalen Wright. A lot of these guys are 22, 23 years old. He's still 21. So I like that for him. Denver had a huge workload at Texas coming off the ACL, but they expect him to be ready, not just for the season, but by training camp. So I'm not really super worried about the ACL, which happened late last year. Brooks just looks like the best back in this class. And maybe, you know, maybe we're talking about him as a late first round pick in the actual draft, had he not torn his ACL. It looks like a good player.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks fantastic. Hopefully he gets to come back full speed, fully healthy. I think that would be really fun to be able to watch him. Like you, I don't know if you said this or not. Only 1 year of starting at college. I would like to be able to see what he can do with another full NFL year, or not another, with a full NFL year, knowing that he only had 1 year as a starter at college. But definitely it feels like the number one running back in this class. Mike, if I'm looking at the guy that I'm out of focus on, again, amongst these top running backs, because there's so many running backs in this class, for me, I'm just going against all my hometown things. I feel like a bad Michigan fan. But for me, it's got to be Blake Corum, I feel like. You know, I like Blake's game. He's a hard runner, hard-nosed runner. He's able to find the hole. He plays faster than what he is, but he ran kind of slow at the combine. I think it was a 4.5. What was it, 4.58? 4.53 at the combine. Mm-hmm. He's 5.8, 205. You know, he is a good runner, but he's not exceptionally shifty. He's not super talented with a lot of the things that he does. He's just really good at a bunch of things, right? He's able to handle a workload. He's able to help wear defenses down, but he doesn't have top end speed. I don't think he's an incredible pass rusher, has athleticism, isn't off the charts. And so because of that, a lot of times when you're looking at these situations, to me, I just feel like even though I like Blake Corum and he was a really good runner, probably can be a really good runner if he finds the right spot, I'm going to take some of those other running backs that I just think have a better skill set than Blake. Mike, what about you?
Yep. I'm with you there. I agree. I'm lower on Corum than the consensus. I have him down at RB7 in this class. His efficiency just not very good. He had the third lowest yak and fourth worst force miss tackle rate in this running back class for his career. So that's concerning for me. He can catch it a little bit, block a little bit. Again, the rushing efficiency, a little concerning, but he did handle a big workload, not the biggest back either. So I don't know. I think he's just going to level out as kind of a pedestrian back. Maybe he lands a starting job. Maybe he goes to the Chargers and earns the lead back job there with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins there. But I don't know if he's ever really going to be a major difference maker. But, you know, we've been wrong before. I don't be surprised if he falls to day three.
Yeah, I believe that I saw, too, that in his last year at Michigan, he averaged 4.8 yards per carry, which in and of itself doesn't sound bad, but a lot of these top elite college running backs are averaging over 5-6 yards per carry.
Over so that's 6 one of yards, those
things. Yeah. So it's a little thing that you can just notice, you know, when looking at that. We'll see how he plays out. Again, like you said, though, landing spot is going to mean everything for these rookie running backs. That's going to be a big one.
Yeah, right. 5.5 yards per carry for his career. That would be lowest among the top, we'll say, what is it, 10, 12 running backs in this class. I mean, Brooks, Benson, Wright, Irving, Estime, all above 6 yards per carry, just to give you some perspective on that.
Yep, love that. All right, outgoing wide receiver class, Mike. This is a fun one because there's a bunch of really good names here. Mm-hmm. You got the top of the draft, which was Jordan Addison and Zay Flowers and those guys. But then you got guys that came on out of nowhere. Puka Nacua, Tank Dell, Jaden Reed, Josh Downs, a bunch of guys that you could really love. I think the one that's most in focus, though, it seems obvious, is Puka Nacua. I mean, he's just in a spot where he's going to be the clear number one option there for Matthew Stafford. He's kind of taken over that role from Cooper Kupp, even. When you look at what he did last year, hold on, I'm so sorry. I have my stats here pulled in front of me. But wide receiver, sorry, the internet's just slow over here today, Mike. It's also
he was good at football. He was good at football. I'll say that.
Wide receiver 4 in fantasy points, in case you were wondering. A guy that nobody, it feels like, had drafted in most ESPN standard leagues, unless you were in a super deep dynasty league. Mike, who drafted Puka Nacua in our dynasty league that we have here at ESPN?
That was the league champion. That was the reigning league champion, yours truly. So I would like to thank him for helping me to that title last year. Big help. I'm with you. I think he's number one by far. I have him 7th in my wide receiver rankings pre-draft. The next closest in our list here is Zay Flowers at 23. So I don't know if anyone's really going to argue with that. I think both of those guys actually are positioned for tremendous careers. History says if you put up numbers like those two did as rookies, you're probably going to get big target shares in year two and big fantasy season. So, for me, I have Nacua from our list easily number one at 7. I have Flowers 23, Tank Dell down at 26. He takes a little bit of a hit, of course. You bring in Stephon Diggs with Nico Collins there. I mean, there's only so many mouths to feed. That's going to limit his upside, especially coming off that knee injury. And then another gap down to Jordan Addison at 40. Remember, no more Kirk Cousins. Addison, very touchdown reliant last year and did not do as well as we thought he would without Justin Jefferson in the field. So I think he'll be overdrafted. Jaden Reed at 41, a lot of mouths to feed in Green Bay. I like him a lot, but again, another touchdown regression to the mean category candidate after he scored 10 last year, but was outside the top 25 in most pass catching categories at wide receiver. And then there's another big gap here, Daniel, to the guy who I think is clearly the out of focus leader here. The we'll just hand this to him despite a pretty good rookie season, at least prior to his injury. And that was Josh Downs. I have him down at 61. Again, we saw Alec Pierce kind of come on later in the season. This offense likes to use the tight end. Jonathan Taylor will be healthy this year. Anthony Richardson is going to scramble more, which will take away some passing volume last year. They were a fast-paced offense. They're still going to be, it's not like it's going to be a horrific volume offense, but it's going to drop a little bit going from Minshew to Anthony Richardson. So like Downs, don't get me wrong, but receiver is a very deep position, and I think he's more of a in the late 50s, 60s sort of category, whereas all these other guys, you can make a strong case for in the top 40.
Yeah, I'm with you on that as well, and it's a tough one because this was such a great wide receiver class last year, and we had a lot of these guys come on that we weren't expecting. We also had a couple of these guys that we were expecting didn't really do a whole lot. Quentin Johnston obviously was a first rounder. His name doesn't appear on this list. And he's in a situation where right now there's not a whole lot of names ahead of him on that wide receiver depth chart. So really interested to see how that's going to work out. If he was on this list, he would certainly be the most out of focus, but just didn't make it here.
Well, I don't know. I disagree. I think would take Johnson over Downs. I would take that flyer. I mean, Johnson, again, you mentioned it. As the roster stands, maybe they take Marvin Harrison with the 5th overall pick or Malik Nabers. We could totally see that, and it kind of shifts things. But right now, I think he's positioned for more volume, and that volume is coming from Justin Herbert, of course. So he could be the number one, and we've seen receivers make a leap in year two, year three. So I still have some hope for Johnson, especially in his situation. Whereas Downs, again, he's going to be more of a possession guy, short range, not many touchdowns. Think Tyler Boyd sort of numbers. So that's kind of the concern for the ceiling there with Josh Downs. And by the way, another guy on this, the not on this list of 6, is the first receiver drafted last year, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who of course is in Seattle. He flashed a bit. I expect to step forward this year, but limited ceiling there with Dez Bryant. Or Dez Bryant.
Wow.
I guess that's a good comp. I don't hate that I said that though.
That's so funny.
DK Metcalf, Dez Bryant, so a lot of some similarities there.
Yeah, the body type, man.
Yeah, yeah. So DK Metcalf, of course, and Tyler Lockett still there on that roster.
Yeah. That's one of those situations where, you know, I love all those wide receivers, but I really wish there was only two of them. I would love to clear some paths to targets in that Seattle offense for us fantasy managers.
Yeah. By the way, and I wanted to make this point with Downs because I was thinking about this, like 61st seems so disrespectful, right? Think about this, though. Most teams have three receivers on the field. There's 32 teams. That's 96 receivers. So ranking him 61st is still basically like a back end number two receiver in the NFL. That's not disrespectful at all. That suggests that he's a top two receiver, basically. So it just shows you the absolute depth at receiver. And also, that's why it's so hard for three receivers in an offense to be top 30, top 25 in fantasy points. Yeah. It happens, but it's rare. It has to be like you think about Ben Roethlisberger's high volume, pass heavy Steelers offenses. I think the one year it was Jericho Cotri was their three. And he got in there with Antonio Brown and I don't even know who the other one was. Was it Juju? I think maybe it was Juju Smith-Schuster, yeah. someone like that. So it's just a really hard thing to pull off. And that could be that's why drafting Texans right now is tricky because they have three good ones. Or Seahawks, again, with three good receivers. So, yeah. You know, this just shows you that Downs, even at 61, it's like, yeah, just the fact that you're draftable is a sign of respect these days because the position's so deep.
Well, I hate to say this to Josh Downs, but buckle up, young fella, because we're about to add a whole bunch more wide receivers to the NFL. And this is a pretty good draft class, Mike. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze. That's a clear top three, right? Then you also got Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, and a number of others. We just don't have enough space to list everyone. So I'm going to let you go first. Seems obvious to me as to where you're going to go, but who are you most in focus on in this rookie class?
Yeah, it does seem obvious to a lot of people, but apparently not a few NFL teams who do like Malik Nabers as a top receiver in this class per reports. But and I think there is some legs to that. We'll see how the draft plays out. But I'm going with Marvin Harrison Jr. I'll take the layup on this one. The guy was just so terrific at the college level. His numbers are ridiculous. His efficiency, his target share, just does it all. Just seems like such a safe early first round pick. Just a matter of where he's going to land for me. You know, I think if he does go to Arizona, that's his most popular destination per the mock drafts at four. That's great. You know, they need a wide receiver. You have Kyler Murray there. You know, he's going to just have a huge target share immediately and be a fantasy star. But it might not be. You know, think about it. If someone trades up to four, say Minnesota goes for J.J. McCarthy, then the Chargers are on the clock at five. Do they trade down? Do they take a wide receiver, which is a need for them, and go with Harrison?
Immediately draft Marvin Harrison Jr., Mike. Stop it.
Do you? I mean, most mocks have them taking offensive line. And if you look at the odds, too, the lines for which, you know, with the books, what ESPN bet says, what they're going to do with that first pick, it leans offensive line by far. And then again, that could be with the assumption that the fourth pick is Harrison, and then they go offensive tackle. But again, what if someone trades up to four for McCarthy, which seems like a real possibility, then suddenly that shakes things up. So if you think that, if you think they're going to pounce there, Daniel, then you should check those odds.
I'll tell you what. This kind of reminds me a little bit of what you're describing. Like, right, this is the Joe Alt or Marvin Harrison Jr. conversation, which was basically the Penei Sewell or Jamar Chase conversation a couple years ago for the Bengals. Are you going to get that left tackle or a right tackle to help secure your offensive line, keep your signal caller healthy, or are you going to get that young weapon? And it's interesting to see which way NFL teams decide to go, because not every NFL team thinks similarly. So
yeah, and again, most the money is on the Chargers to go offensive line. Most mocks have them going offensive line, but I think if they're staring at Harrison versus all, who would be a right tackle most likely, because they have Rashawn Slater. Maybe they do go Harrison. Maybe they do go Harrison and team him up with Justin Herbert. You're gonna have to throw the ball sometimes. You might want to run the ball, but you're gonna have to throw it plenty, and you want a guy like Harrison out there running routes. So regardless, absolutely, it's probably gonna be Arizona, the Chargers. It could be the Giants at six if they get lucky. Someone could trade up into that spot, but wherever Harrison goes, he's gonna be featured, and I think he's the top receiver in this class.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The guy that I'm probably most out of focus on is so tough because I love all of these guys. I don't really have a problem with most of them.
We only cut it down to six here. So among the top six receivers here,
I guess the guy that I would have to choose, though, Mike, the name that I wrote down, I'm going to stick with it, is probably Adonai Mitchell. I actually, I, for me, it was between two names. It was between Adonai Mitchell and Ladd McConkey. And I feel like Ladd, I really like his skill set, all the things that he does. I mean, he's a guy that can find the way that he was utilized at Georgia and being able to find the soft spot, the open spots in the zone, his run after catch ability. He's good with the ball in his hands. And I really love that. I think when I look at Adonai Mitchell, sometimes I get the shades of Gabe Davis comparison where he is a big play waiting to happen, but I think he only had 55 catches this last year, 55 catches in 14 games with 14 touchdowns, mind you. I mean, that's part of it. He's that big play. But if I'm looking at somebody right now that I would want to roster, it's probably someone that I think would just get more volume. So anyways, I don't really know how to say which one I don't want because I like all of these wide receivers, but I'm going to say Adonai Mitchell because I think if I, given the situation, he gives me the most Gabe Davis vibes of maybe he needs more volume in order to make sure that he stays fantasy relevant.
Yeah, it could be super valuable to his team, but maybe not as much in fantasy for that reason. Maybe more correct. Valuable in non-PPR than PPR. You're right. High average depth of target, low production after the catch. He's going to be a perimeter vertical target, big, fast, outside receiver. So I'm with you. And by the way, yeah, you look at the career numbers of all the receivers on this list. He's one of the only ones that doesn't have at least 100 career catches. He's in the 90s. So that just shows you he didn't really have that volume. And part of that was because of his role in the offense. So I do like him. Don't get me wrong. I have him six, but I'm with you. I think role matters, and McConkey could be one of them guys that might just be stealing fantasy points with short to intermediate targets. So I'm with you. I would break the tie and go McConkey over Mitchell with you there. Hey,
I love that. All right, Mike, we are through in and out of focus, but you know what? We just talked about all these rookies. Has me itching. Has me jonesing. Maybe we do a little dynasty mock draft. You and I back and forth. We just pick a couple of these guys based on what we like. How about we do this? Two quarterbacks, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, and a flex. So we'll do super flex. Is that cool?
Got it. Got it. Let's go.
Eight rounds total. I'll tell you what. I'll flip a coin and we'll see who starts.
All right.
Came up heads, so I'm going to go.
Oh, that's convenient. That's weird. I couldn't see the coin.
You didn't see it? Oh, it must have buffering issues on our call.
Oh, that's so weird. Okay.
What it is.
What is this? Are you Jerome Bettis or something? Or we just changing? Was that him? Is that Bettis changed the call?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Showing my age there.
I'm going to go with Jonathan Brooks.
This is a dynasty rookie draft, or are we just looking at...
I'm just filling out my roster right here. Okay, I'll tell you what.
You're just filling out your roster. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. I'm filling out my roster. So, quote unquote dynasty. Part of the reason why, Mike, is because I don't think this is a very deep running back class. Well, actually, you know what? No, I already turned in my card. So I got to go with it.
Oh, wow. The disrespect for Jonathan Brooks. During his media interview, GM Daniel Dopp immediately regrets the decision.
That's tough. He's second guessing it, but I'm going to go with it. Listen, it's a tough running back class. I don't think we have as much talent at the top. So I at least want to grab the guy that I think is the best in this class to me. That's Jonathan Brooks.
Okay. So if you're watching the video, this is me running. I'm running to the stage. Easy call. Here's my card, Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't need the full 10 minutes. I'll take the best wide receiver in this class, maybe soon to be best receiver in the NFL. Very much has that ceiling for sure. So thank you very much. We were in the draft room just laughing back there. We couldn't believe it. Shocked. Shock turned to laughter. Thumbs up. Love to see it. Thank you very much. We'll take Marvin Harrison Jr. with the second overall pick.
You know, the hard part there, Mike, is I know so many more wide receivers in this draft class than I do running back. So I needed to make sure I drafted a running back that I knew that I could talk about on the podcast is what it was.
Anytime you can get a running back without a knee over
without
maybe
a
the
knee.
Next,
yes.
The next superstar receiver in the NFL, you got to do it.
Got to do that.
Daniel often says.
Hey, here's where Daniel's going to go next.
Wait, are we going snake here? Or are we going?
Why would I give you a second overall pick? All right, no, let's do it. We'll do snake. All right, fine. I'll give you back and forth. I'll give you a second overall pick.
Go 2-2. Okay, so
two and three.
This is an interesting one because we do have a lot of depth at the wide receiver position. So do I take another receiver? We're doing a flex though, right? We are doing a flex.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will take. I'll stick with receiver and get two superstars. Again, there is a debate among some teams, draft analysts, over who the top receiver is because there's two great ones. So I'm going to go Malik Nabers with my next pick. Get those two receivers locked down. I don't even need running backs or a tight end because I got these two guys on the perimeter. Harrison and Nabers for me. I'll take it.
I like it. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't to disagree with you. If you can start any draft with Harrison and Neighbors, I would do that. From me, Mike, I'm going to shore up a very thin tight end class and take a guy that basically is a wide receiver at the tight end class, and that's Brock Bowers. I'm going to grab him because he is the clear-cut number one tight end in this class. Somebody I'm really interested to see how it's going to work out. We've had this narrative that we've talked about in fantasy football over the last handful of years that has slowly started to kind of decay away, right? It's not like all of a sudden rookie tight ends come in and they're all superstars, but we've seen them have a little bit more value over their rookie season than we did in years past. So this guy is one of the few that I think could fit in that mold, obviously, with Brock Bowers. Excited to see where he's going to go. Some people have mocked him to 10 with the Jets. Thinking about him going to that offense with Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall seems exciting. So I'll go Brock Bowers. And then for my second pick, I'm going to go with what I think is just the next best wide receiver in the class, which is Rome Odunze. Make sure that I grab that guy. Clear cut, number three wide receiver for me. Again, big guy going to play on the outside for my squad. Love what it is that he's going to bring to Team Squirrel. Very excited to have Rome Odunze here.
Okay, I like that a lot. So you have a running back, receiver, and tight end. I want receiver, receiver.
Yep.
Same position with my first two picks. And guess what?
You're going to go back to it again.
I'm going to do it again. I'm going to fill out. This is basically super flex. We have two quarterbacks. You took Odunze and Bowers, who I would have taken with one of these picks. But I'm going to go with a pair of quarterbacks here. We talked about them a lot throughout the show. Caleb Williams, of course, he's already out to dinner with his future teammates, the guys he'll be teammates with as of Thursday night with the Chicago Bears. So it is certainly Caleb Williams will be my QB1 and my QB2, or maybe my QB1 early on. Who knows? Because of what he can do with his legs. We'll go with Jaden Daniels. I don't really care if he goes to Washington at 2, which will be a good fit. I like it there. Or New England could go there. Someone could trade up, make a ridiculous trade to get up to 3 to get him. Minnesota, Denver, who knows, the Raiders. But I will go Jaden Daniels. Love what he brings with his legs. So that's a really good super flex setup there, of course, with Caleb and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I like that, Mike. I mean, that's not a bad start at all. All right, if you're going to go that route, I got two picks coming up here, and I'm going to go with Brian Thomas Jr. Again, two wide receiver and a flex, so I got to get another one of these guys. Another guy that's a big, fast, physical, outside wide receiver for my squad. Ran a 4.3 40. I got two. I got some big guys right now at the wide receiver position. And you know what? I think I'm going to go. I don't know if I would love this. Kind of depends on where it's going to go, but I think I'm going to make the decision to go with Drake May here. I'm going to get my first quarterback, take him off the board. You've already got your two.
Bad gamesmanship here. I got to knock you for bad gamesmanship in this.
Because, I don't need to take a quarterback. I could have waited for the last pick.
I can't take another quarterback. But I
understand.
Let's just pretend you're giving Drake some respect here. You're just going to respect the name, say he shouldn't fall to the last couple picks. So I'll give you a pass on it, but bad gamesmanship on your end.
I understand how it works. I got you. But I don't have. This is one of the things. I think that Drake May should come off the board before my second running back. That's part of it. I don't want to be disrespectful to my quarterback. From that standpoint. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to go with Drake May. First guy to be able to lead it. I can tell you who my second one's going to be, but I'm going to wait and let you make your two picks first.
Wait. Oh yeah. You picked Thomas and May there, right? Okay.
Correct.
So I have two receivers and I have two quarterbacks. So I'm going to go to the running back well here. I'm going to start with, I'll go with my number two and my number three running backs. Let's just keep this trend going. So Trey Benson, and Jalen Wright are my next backs here. Benson out of Florida State, good size, ran a sub 4.4 40 at the combine. Loved his efficiency, one of the best yaks in the class. That's always going to be appealing to me and has three down upside. So I like Trey Benson. And then Jalen Wright, again, super fast, explosive, decent size. His efficiency profile concerned me a little bit, but he did make a bit of a leap forward last season. He ran that 4.38 at a really good broad jump at the combine, showed off his athleticism, another guy that has potential to be a three down back. So I'll go Benson and Wright, fill out that running back spot.
I love that. I like that a lot. And it makes me frustrated because I wanted one of those two running backs. And had I drafted them ahead of Drake May, then I could have had that, but I wanted to show some respect to my quarterback.
Again, gamesmanship. You gotta, it's part of the game.
Said, respect the game. To the quarterback. All right. I've got two wide receivers in Brian Thomas and Rome Odunze. I'm going to add in right now my flex. And it's not even a guy that we talked about, Mike. We didn't even mention him on the podcast today. But it's Xavier Leggett.
Okay.
6'1", 221, runs a 4.39, 40-inch vertical. I love what this kid can do. Really excited to be able to see what he can be in the NFL. He's someone that gives me really good vibes. I'm just pumped to be able to see him out there, Mike. This is one of those things that, excuse me, looking at this wide receiver class, there are so many guys that you could choose from, right? That we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Ladd McConkey. We didn't even mention Keon Coleman. We didn't mention Xavier Worthy, who ran a 4.2140 at the combine. But for me, I like Xavier Leggett. I'm going to grab him here. And then even though I said bad things about Blake Corum, he's probably, for me, he would be the next running back that I would grab that I feel most confident in. Because if I do think that potentially he goes to his former coach in Jim Harbaugh and he becomes a running back for the Los Angeles Chargers, I think that would be pretty legit. I think that he would fit in really well there with that scheme. So I'm going to go with Blake Corum for my second running back.
Interesting. I had Marshawn Lloyd would have been next up on my running back rankings. Again, I'm a little lower on Corum, but fair enough. So is that two? Did you make two?
I did. Corum, I made two.
Okay. All right. So these are the last two for me. I already have six on the board, so I still need a tight end. Again, you took a tight end early, so gamesmanship. I just crossed that position off to the last pick in my flex. So I'm not going to go running back here. I'm going to go back to the wide receiver well for my flex. We did talk about this guy earlier in the show, Ladd McConkey. Again, I think this guy is going to be terrific as a short to intermediate target sort of player. Could he get 90, 95 catches in the league in that Cooper Kupp sort of role in the pros? Maybe. I don't think he's going to go to the Rams, and it won't be perfect, but he'll go somewhere where he's going to be used in that department. So super excited to find out this landing spot. I think this guy can make an immediate impact. I know last year he was a little beat up. His target share was down, but overall just has the skill set to be a PPR star in the NFL. So he's my flex. And then the tight end position, again, there's a big drop off here after Brock Bowers. You could almost assuredly say there will be one tight end picked in the first round, but the second tight end for me here is going to be Jatavion Sanders. This is good. You know, you look at his receiving efficiency at the college level. He was pretty good at Texas. He's very young, so I think there could be some development there. Probably going to go maybe on day two and then maybe be a backup out of the gate, and then maybe a year two, three breakout. So, you know, again, when my team is this loaded, I don't need him to perform right away. I'm still going to crush Daniel's squad anyway. So Sanders doesn't really have to play much. He could chill on the bench and learn from the pros. But that's all. I'll fill mine out.
Wow. Wow, Mike. Taking shots at me all the way to the end. I'll tell you what.
I mean, I'm stacked. I have like the best player at every position. I don't know what you want from me here. So.
You are stacked. That is true. I got one last pick here, and I'm going to make it obvious. It's going to be JJ McCarthy. Dude is, I think, a better quarterback than sometimes he gets credit for. Super good completion percentage last year. By the way, he was 27-1 at Michigan last
year. Seemed good.
So, you know, he knows how to be able to lead a squad. Everyone's talking about him potentially going to Minnesota. The idea of him, you know, I would love to be able to make sure that we have a quarterback for Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson when he comes back healthy. I don't want to take shots at Sam Darnold, but I would love to grab a rookie here. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah, Mike? I'm with you. Something to be said for scheme, right? Would Brock Purdy be this good if he wasn't on the Niners? You know, probably not. His efficiency probably wouldn't be as alarmingly good as it is. And I think that McCarthy, who's, you know, there's some question marks there going to a situation like that in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, who we saw get a lot out of backup quarterbacks last year. Yep. Not to mention the most we've ever seen out of Kirk Cousins would be just outstanding. So I'm with you. I hope he lands with Minnesota.
Mike, thanks for hanging out with me, dude. This was
a ton of
fun.
Yeah. Next time we talk, the draft will be over.
I was going to say, we're going to be back next Monday. We're going to let the entire draft roll out over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and gather all of our notes, make sure that we got all our nuggets in order before we come to you for a big Monday show recapping all of the draft with some way too early thoughts on what we think is going to happen. Mike, any early predictions? I know that you got a couple of ESPN bet lines that you have mentioned out there. Anybody that you like that you want to quickly give a little love to as far as an ESPN bet line maybe?
Oh, man. Yeah, we do have a round table coming that will be fun. But yeah, I mean, in there, I kind of play out the top six or seven picks. And it's a little bold. It has some guys falling that you, would surprise you, but I think it all makes sense if you look at it on paper. And if you do think that could play out, it has to do with the trade up for a quarterback. If you think that happens, I think Minnesota, for example, trades up for a quarterback that shakes things up, and there's some good lines out there you could take advantage of if you're in the betting market. And speaking of which, last week's podcast, we kind of talked about unfilled voids and landing spots for those players. I turned that into a column as well. So if you missed that pod or you're listening and you want some follow-up to it, that's available over at ESPN.com as well.
Love it. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Mike. Hey, thank Anytime, you guys brother. For hanging out with us as well. To you, all the listeners and the viewers, don't forget to love each other, be kind to yourself, and stay cool this week. Enjoy the NFL draft. We'll see you guys on the other side.
No secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's dead.